Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning. My name's Andrea Wood, and I'm the practitioner of the day this morning, along with Cindy and Wanda and Kit. And we are here this morning to pray with you, if anyone should want prayer, as well as there's a prayer vessel in the back to put your prayers in, and I would be happy to pray for you all week. So let's join our hearts and minds together in prayer this morning. So knoweth me as I know. There is a magnificent presence and power, a divine wisdom that underlies everything in existence, in the fabric of our being, everywhere present, indwelling. And this one is wisdom. This one is radiant aliveness. This one lives in all sacred humans as love. All these things live within all beings and are existing to guide and to bring us to our highest potential, ever evolving, ever growing in love and in peace. So as we come together as this community, We're building building blocks of care and compassion, of expansion of our spiritual knowledge, and our time together is blessed. I look forward to our wonderful speaker today, and I am glad that you are all here. Thank you, sweet spirit, for this community, and so it is.
Reverend Don Beatty is our guest speaker. A man I have known and loved for many a year. He is very active and has for a long time at the Seattle Center for Spiritual Living, where he is a staff minister for the last 4 years, but really since the 1990s has either been on the board or been a treasurer working on projects, and now he is serving that community as a minister. So a wonderful, wonderful presence. And his passion is bringing spirituality to business. So that's his passion, that these principles help in everyday life, at your workplace, at your job, creating your business. And his joy is to use those tools not only himself, but to teach others to use these tools in the workplace. As I said, he is a very hands-on, grounded minister, and it is my joy to introduce him to you this morning, Reverend Don.
Good job. I could say we pre-planned the original mistake so that we could give us all room to be human, because I know I make mistakes, and
there's still something wrong with
the sound. It's coming. Yeah. There we go. So I'm going to open with the end, my close. And my intention for the day, my closing line is going to be, so now you know what to listen for. Our words, our presence, have the power to lift up, to heal, to support ourselves and each other, or not. My intention today is that my words will do the lifting and the support and healing this morning, and provide a little humor, some ideas about this topic we've been working with all month of raise your voice. Now, I got to be honest, raise your voice was not the thing I would have picked to, right now. It's really noisy out there already. And then this week's topic was overcoming the silence. I'd really like some silence sometimes. So I'm going to do a little silence exercise with you, a spiritual practice that I've, it's true story. The backstory is we're singing. Yes, I'm also a choir member now. That's scary. But we're singing a song entitled Be Blessed. It's as simple as it says. So what I want to do this morning as a way to move into this today's topic is ask you here in the room, you online, to join me with a little blessing practice. Online, if you're with someone else, follow the rules for in here. If you're by yourself, what I invite you to do is think of at least three people or other things that you would like to be blessed, that you get to think while I talk to the room. In here, same thing, except I invite you to look around at least three people, and when I say go, say be blessed. If you want to stand as you're able, that's fine. But before we do it, I want to say why blessing is so important to me. The cool thing about blessings is you don't need a clue about what anybody is going through or where they are or anything. No words, no understanding. I do invite you to choose someone you might care about, energetically, in some form. And then the tricky part is you have to believe and allow God to handle the details. You don't have to know anything. All I ask is you care at some level, and you're willing to trust God to handle the details. If you're in, I invite you now to stand up online and say out loud, but look around and say, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. That's three people. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Okay. All right. Okay, that's more than three. Be blessed. Thank you. And the only reason I have to stop at three is there's a clock back there I have to watch. But the beauty of blessings is they are unlimited. We are not giving a box full of blessings at the beginning and said, manage these wisely. No, we are giving the authority, the power, the presence to bless all times. Unlimited blessings can flow out through us with a simple two words, be blessed. And trusting that then that you don't need to know, but God knows, and God handles the details. And the secret sauce of blessings is the universe goes back at you. The law of circulation says that as we give out blessings, give out love, the universe brings blessings back to us. So we're constantly recharged. This is a way of raising our voice in a quiet, presence-filled, divine way. That was this morning's inspiration for what I was going to do today. And I'm glad it's working. And I hope you will continue to do that and make that part of your daily practice. I do in my journal. My last part of my journal in the morning is I'd start blessing people. I list out the people I care about, people I know need blessings, and just let God take care of the details. So now we're in a pretty good spot. The song was great. I really love it. She has a way to know what I'm going to talk about and find the right song. But I'd like to center us in a little bit more by asking you to just join me for a short, just a couple of deep breaths. Not a meditation, but a stillness. So I invite you to join with me now and just taking a deep breath, release it out. And again, what I'm inviting by asking us to breathe here in the room and online is when we breathe deeply, intentionally, we are telling our minds, our bodies, our spirit that I am in the right place. I am where I want to be. I breathe deeply, for this is a safe place, and know this is a container of love and God here. And I welcome that awareness, and I welcome that presence around me. And I know as we do this together, we do create a container of wisdom for us this morning here in the room, and an online as well is included. So thank you. This is a challenging time. Not the first time in our country's history that we've had challenges, but we have things that didn't exist in the past. We have a 24-hour news cycle. We have social media. We have instant awareness. We have all these things that say you need to respond right now, quickly. There's no time. We don't have the time to really necessarily know what we want to say even. So this morning I want to look at how raising our voice or choosing to overcome the silence, the theme for this week, how we can do that in ways that allow us to be who we are, allow us to find our own path, and also to know that whatever we're doing is okay. And there are a lot of good reasons to not speak up, to not overcome the silence. The first one for me in my life is, in my learning and journeying, is I don't have a clue what to say. There's an ancient philosopher, Stoic or somebody, who said, 'tis better to be silent and thought a fool to open your mouth and prove it. I got that somewhere along the way, and I really tried to make that part of my gateways to make saying or making comments. But when we look at that idea, and it's like, what's my good reasons to not speak up? They're there. That doesn't make you bad, broken, wrong for not speaking up. It means you're honoring yourself. We're honoring ourselves that this is not something I want to engage in. This is not mine to speak up about. And there's also the place where I just want to be compassionate for myself and others. I got here early. I always come early for two reasons. One, I come early to hear what the band's going to play. So I have a sense of how I can use that into this talk. Also come in and joined in this morning, blessing this space, blessing the chairs. I wanted a Costco-sized bucket of compassion in here this morning, spreading it around for in this time that we are having this kind of conversation. And my point is that I think silence is okay. And when that's right for you, and speaking up is okay when that's what you feel drawn to do. The song we just sang at the end, sing through my voice, speak God, speak through my voice, play through my hands. That's about presence for me. Be the presence I need to be, because speaking and presence are powerful ways to raise our voice, to decide how we show up. Now, I've got some ideas I want to share about ways we can do this. So far this month, it's been very informative conversations y'all have had. A lot of you need to do your work, 3 weeks worth. Are y'all doing your work now?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you ready that I'm not going to tell you to do your work? No, I will too. But that work we are doing is what allows us to be in a place where we can find our voice. Finding mine as a minister took a lot of work. If my wife was here, she'd be nodding her head very vigorously. Because I had all this business background that has a different voice than my minister voice. And yet, they're coming through the same expression of life as it's called Don Beatty. And now I can't not be a reverend. And so that's all happening now again in business. So when we look, decide to want to speak up, to raise our voice, break the silence, first you got to give yourself a pat on the back or get your friend to give you a pat on the back, because that takes a lot of courage. It takes courage to be silenced. It takes a lot of courage to want to speak up. And it's something I want to honor, and anybody who is choosing to do that in whatever form and wherever you're choosing to do that. If you're going to speak up, though, I think that we need some tools to do that with. I've worked on mine through learning some of these the hard way and learning, being guided and finding these, some of the others. And it, for me, one of the important parts about choosing to speak up is what kind of compassion, how I am, who I am in the moment when I want to speak, how I want to share, what's my intentions. So we talk about, I've talked about silence a little bit. There's, it's not something we're having a lot of right now, but what's my first rule or first guideline for if you're going to start to speak up is more silence. We call that the pause. That pause between a reaction and being able to choose a response. We stay in the our own personal silence a little bit to pause and to be open, to feel what's going on. If something has caused me to want to speak, the pause lets me breathe into that, like we did with my opening, to breathe in, to center, to settle, to reconnect with the divine, so that I can ask myself some questions, that I can begin to see what is it that's being called from me. So when we pause, I invite you, that's the time to take that deep breath. Breathe deeply, allow your body to settle, your mind to settle, your soul to be engaged as a way to make this pause really meaningful. So you can, and the other question to ask during a pause is, okay, God, is this really my time, or are you just preparing me for something else? Timing's important. And I'll have more on that, but it's a chance to say, is this really my time to speak? And then what the song that we sang said, and then in this pause, there's a space to pray. A short prayer, God speak through me. If I'm speaking now, God speak through me. Use my voice to share what it is that you want me to share for you. And allow that time to feel that. Whatever helps you get connected, do that in the pause. There's a Daniel Namon song, Word of God, Speak. That's the song I go to, at least the chorus. Word of God, speak, rain down on me. Open my eyes to see. So when we do that pause, we're in a better place to be able to decide what it is we want to do when we want to speak. And in that, there's some tools that can help us. Your presence matters. You never have to speak a word. Your standing in your truth and authenticity is a speech unto itself. Just take that deep breath and say, this is who I am. I stand. I march. I write letters. I do things quietly because my presence and the energy that I put out when I send an email to someone, my elected representative or whatever, that is me speaking out. I am raising my voice to say this matters to me. When I talk about speaking, I invite it to be invitational and filled with compassion and curiosity. Curiosity is a great way to weave through what seems to be an insurmountable barrier. Simple question. Can you help me understand this? Notice the invitation, the willingness to hear. Can you help me understand how this works? You're inviting whatever it is that's making all the noise to a stillness, to be able to give them a chance to speak less loudly, if you will, maybe quietly, and share their view. It's a place to have compassion, and if you're in disagreement or to just hear if you think you are in agreement. Because these small steps that we take by simply being curious are the steps can help us to open a door that maybe not only will they help me understand, but I might be able to plant a seed or two of my own about what I think is important, what I want to experience in my life. Not in big, giant steps, but little steps. What's the smallest step I can take in this situation to create community, to create compassion, to create an openness for dialogue? That may be a question of just help me understand and then be willing to listen. That's one of the tools I like to use. I use it in business, and I want to share that because it's a good example. I think I've told you, I do affordable housing across the country in rural America. We work with the farmers, Department of Agriculture, the big government, all the way down to the local. And there are times that a well-placed question can have a big impact. Sitting in a room during COVID, big conference, and they're telling us, the powers that be in the government are telling me, hey, we've got this extra money for rental assistance. We're going to give it to you. Isn't that great? It's like, yeah, listening. And it's this much, and then it runs out. Still listening. Isn't that still great? I'm the one in the room that goes, can you help me with that part when it runs out? What's the plan? And the executive director of our organization would have hit me if she had been close. But that's okay. One of the things is asking questions invites a chance for an understanding. They're answered. We'll figure it out when we get there. Knowing that group, that's the standard answer. I knew the answer to the question before I asked it, but I needed it to be in the room. A question that we can have dialogue about and become part of where we want to, what we don't want to do in the future. Those are questions that are helpful, that allow us to have further dialogue. If we're wanting to bring our awareness, bring our voice up, I want to do it in a way that invites more sharing, more dialogue. If you're going to be speaking up, I invite you to get support. Anything worth doing is worth doing with support. You don't have to do this alone. If you want to be the lone wolf crying, that's fine, howling in the moon. But if you want, but doing this with support is always a good idea, to welcome and share the ideas. I do my talk, I run it through my wife, she rips it to shreds, and then I start over. And she's watching. And I would have said that she was still here, because that's part of how we support each other. Her view helps me understand where I am too much in my head or missing a point. There's another thing to consider that I find interesting, what's in my write-up, is there are, depending on where you look, there are 3 gates, there are 4 gates, there's 5 gates, there's some places that probably got even more gates, about running an idea through them to see if there's something worth speaking up about. But they have all of them have at least 3 in common. Ask this question. Ask, is this true? Which means, is it based on facts and honesty, not made up? Ask that question. Is it necessary and beneficial? Necessary is always there, beneficial maybe not. But this is what I'm about to say. Is it necessary? Is there a good reason to bring this up now? Is it necessary now? And the third that's always in this matrix is it kind? Is what I'm about to say, can I speak from a place of kindness? And you feel just in that shift of, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? How it moves into a place where I'm more grounded in whatever I say next. What I added to make four was from Ernest Holmes. If you ever wonder what to pray for, his answer was, brings more life, harms no one, including yourself. So that's my fourth gate. It's what I'm about to say going to bring more life into my world, into this world. And will it harm no one, including myself? Those are gates that will help us to be able to speak what's in our hearts and what's on our minds, what we want to experience in creating a world that works for everyone in a way that can be heard, has a better chance of being heard. And it's coming from that place of kindness and invitation to be able to have that dialogue that we would like to have in creating a world that works for everyone. The fifth one is timing. Sometimes you can tell there's too much noise, nobody can hear what I've got to say. Doesn't mean it's not valid, it just means it's not yours to say today. But I take that as an inspiration that God has given, the divine has given me something. Consider this, take this in, do your pause work, stop. See what this feels like inside. How do you want this to be part of your life? Wherever it is coming from. And allow it to work you as you work with it with God. It's the serenity prayer, basically. It's, and when I say it out loud, now it runs away and hides from me, but basically, serenity to see. Y'all do it for me. God, grant me the serenity, though things I can't change, the words to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. If you do that before any time you want to talk or going into a meeting or any time coming through the door here, do the serenity prayer. We tend to think of it as something we learned, but it has a real power as part of our choosing to take a stand in the world for what we want to experience, to raise our voices, to come to speak beyond the silence and be a place where God sings through us, God plays through us, God lifts us up, allows us to support each other, to heal and make a difference. That's my hope for us and this world, that we all find that place. Join me in prayer. As we breathe into this time, into this container that we have created with the divine, I welcome whatever is necessary for each of us and all of us to understand how our world is evolving, our inner world, our outer world, and to be the person, the place where God shows up, that the divine can guide us in what we want to speak, how we want to share. God defines us in how we show up with love, with compassion, running our ideas through the gates, through the serenity prayer, getting support we need, and loving everyone and holding compassion for everyone. And when we can't figure anything out, we have a new tool. Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister. Be blessed. And so it is.